For decades, milk has been fueling women marathon runners as the OG performance drink. And in the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers takes us on a journey of self-discovery as she meets several groups of empowered women runners to find out what drives them, what fuels them, and what pushes them to go the distance. And in the process, she learns that she, too, can be a distance runner. You can watch the series at runningsucktheseries.com and register for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, you're listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. I'm Sam Sanders. This episode, movies. In particular, long movies. Have y'all heard about Martin Scorsese's new film, Killers of the Flower Moon?
Whose land is this? My land.
It's coming this weekend. It's getting a lot of really good buzz, and the trailer looks great.
Boys, come back here. We'll say you're the finest, wealthiest, and most beautiful people on God's earth. They outsmarted everybody.
But this movie, it is 3 hours and 26 minutes long. That is too long. And I know, Scorsese gonna Scorsese. This is not his first way too long movie. But these days, Martin is not alone. I know you've been feeling it. I know I've been feeling it. Movies in general are getting longer. The 90-minute standard of my youth, no more. I've been wanting for a long time to figure out why. In this episode, dear listener, we do just that. Natalie Jarvie recently did a deep investigation into all of this for Vanity Fair. She's the Hollywood correspondent there. And Natalie found that there are a few reasons movies got so long. She will tell us all of them in this chat and what, if anything, will change this trend. I mean, if you want it to change, maybe you like long movies. I don't know your life. Anywho, here's Natalie on why movies are so long in a wonderfully not too long chat. You wrote a piece recently for Vanity Fair that I truly believe was you doing the Lord's work. You had a deep dive investigation into why and how movies got to be so long. What made you want to write the piece?
Yeah, well, this came from a personal passion place for me because I cannot sit through long movies. And maybe this is a personal problem, but I sit down on a Friday night and I want to watch a movie and I fall asleep. And so these movies have to be short if I'm going to stay awake for the whole thing. So I wanted to really try to understand, like, why is this happening? Why does it seem like every movie is 2.5, 3 hours long these days?
Yeah, and I feel like I remember my youth. You know, being a high school student in the 90s, it felt like all the films were a nice, clean, tight 90 minutes. But I don't want to let my rose-colored glasses fool me. By the numbers, by the data, are movies actually longer now than they were, say, 20, 25 years ago? Or something else? What is Zeta say?
So I think the answer is yes, but I will tell you that it is hard to get, you know, truly definitive data around this because you can slice and dice the numbers a lot of different ways. But I was curious about the same thing, and so I did look into it, and I pulled a bunch of information. So I looked at the top 20 box office performers in 2022 and averaged out the length of those movies and found that the average length, and this was movies like Top Gun Maverick.
Maverick to range control. Entering point alpha. Confirm green range.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
I am queen of the most powerful nation in the world, and my entire family is gone. Have I not given everything?
Nope. Smile, Bullet Train, all these movies. And I found that the average length of those top 20 box office performers was 2 hours and 12 minutes. And then I looked.
Oh my goodness.
So over 2 hours. Then I went and I looked at 20 years ago, so 2002, what was the average of the top 20 box office performers? And it was a cool, breezy hour 59 minutes. So that's a change of about 13 minutes over 20 years.
Okay. And like 13 minutes doesn't seem like too much, but that's the average, which means that a lot of movies are even longer. And I mean, I want to be clear here. This stuff kind of happens in waves. And there are always long movies and there are always short movies. And so, like, even though it felt like to me the 90s were full of shorter movies, you know, there were times before then that were full of, like, 4-hour long movies, such as Gone with the Wind.
Don't you want to marry me?
I'm going to marry Melanie.
But you can't, not if you care for me.
Or Liz Taylor's Cleopatra.
I asked it of Julius Caesar. I demand it of you.
Like, Martin Scorsese in Killers of the Flower Moon is not the first to do the super, super, super long movie. But it does feel like we're in an era of movie length creep across the board. Across the board.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I mean, you're right. There have always been long movies. Long movies have always been kind of synonymous with prestige, with important movies from important filmmakers. But you're also right. I think it's interesting that you point to the 90s, which is when you and I were growing up, because I also looked at the average top 20 box office performers in 1992, and it was an average of an hour and 56 minutes. So it was even a little bit shorter.
Wow. And even shorter.
The top movie of the year was Batman Returns.
Wow. The Batman. Or is it just Batman?
And it was a cool 2 hours and 6 minutes long, which is, you know, I don't think you'd get a Batman movie for that length today. So
can't do it. It's not possible.
Yeah. And I think you're right. On the whole, movies, you know, I think are skewing longer right now. And I have a lot of theories about why that is.
Yes. I want to talk about those theories right now, but I want to ask, just saying the 90s and the 90s and the 90s over again already in this chat, how much of it is about VHS tapes? Could VHS tapes just hold shorter movies and no one wanted to have a double VHS? Was that at all part of it?
You know, I'm not sure about the actual, you know, technological capabilities, but I do think that there's something about home viewing, right, that does, you know, kind of prioritize a shorter experience. It's not the same as, you know, buying a ticket and going out on a Friday night and having dinner and then going to a movie. So it's part of it. And you can see that across the history of movies, too. I mean, at first, when movies were first becoming popular, they were really short. You'd go and you'd watch several back to back, and they weren't very long because film reels couldn't hold long movies. They just, the technology wasn't advanced enough. Then you got to this place of, you know, being able to do a Gone with the Wind or, you know, Cleopatra length movie, and they would have intermissions. And it was almost, you know, treated the same way as going to a play or an opera, where it was, you know, a whole experience. But then I would say with the rise of like the Cineplex, they wanted shorter movies in part so that the distributors could get multiple screenings in one night. So a 3-hour movie means you've got a 7 o'clock showing, people are getting out at 10 o'clock, that's the one movie that you're going to be able to show at your movie theater that night.
You can't screen the second one. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now
we've
got multiplexes where, you know, a 3-hour movie is fine because you've just got another theater at that same movie theater where you can show other screenings. Yeah. So it's not quite as important.
So the proliferation of screens has also been a part of maybe movies being allowed to be longer.
Yeah, the proliferation of screens has definitely helped make it less of a scheduling issue for the movie theaters.
Yeah. Let's break down the reasons you found in your investigation into movie lengths as to why they're getting so long, as to why we're in this current long movie moment. What's the biggest reason you found?
I think there's a couple. I want to start with the fact that we have been in this era of the IP franchise movie for the last, you know, decade plus. So we're talking all the Marvel movies, the superhero movies. And those movies do tend to be longer. And I think some of that, you know, you can look back at like Avengers.
Captain Marvel.
the Annihilator. You took everything from me. And now I'm returning the favor.
And, you know, every time they put out a new movie, Marvel has to, like, one-up itself and stuff it full of more drama, more action sequences. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be more explosive. So, well,
and the worlds are connected, so there are many plot lines to sew up.
Exactly.
At the end of some of these films. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And those are movies that people are paying money to go see in theaters. So it doesn't surprise me that those are the kinds of movies that the movie studios are prioritizing and making right now. You know, people love the Fast and the Furious franchise, and those movies have been steadily getting longer and longer, you know, every time they put out a new one. So the audiences are rewarding that. They're saying, oh, great, a longer, bigger, more explosive movie. Awesome.
It's an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, Natalie explains another reason why movies might be getting longer. It's getting harder to say no to powerful directors.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from 26.2 Team Milk and their new docuseries, Running Sucks.
Is running the worst? Yeah. Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I hate it so much. I hate it so freaking much.
That you're a real runner now!
I hate it.
I'm Abby Ayers, a 37-year-old mom from Utah who found herself running across the Manhattan Bridge in my first race ever.
Running Sucks celebrates women who run and the running communities that carry them across the finish line.
Running helped me in so many ways postpartum.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
For every person like you, I'm telling you, you belong, and I'm telling you, you can do it.
I never thought the words would leave my mouth, but yes, I'm planning on running a marathon. I can't even say it without laughing, because, like, who would have thought?
Watch Running Sucks at runningsucktheseries.com and learn more about how Team Milk is helping women runners across the country conquer their next course.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
So big franchises are a part of this. What are some of the other reasons you found?
Well, you know, I think we have to talk about streaming and the way streaming has impacted this, but it may not be exactly in the way that you think. So, you know, I think streaming has absolutely changed how we watch all content, movies, TV shows, especially TV shows, because you sit down, it's a Friday night, you might binge three or four episodes of that new Netflix drama, and, you know, there's 4 hours of your life. It's also allowed for, on the TV side, people to kind of stretch the limits of what an episode is. It can be 60 minutes. It can be 65 minutes because there's not commercial breaks and not the same scheduling concerns. But on the film side, I actually think that it's less about the behaviors that streaming has allowed to kind of change and more about the fact that with Netflix, with Apple, with Amazon, you've got all these new buyers out there who want to make movies, and they want to make movies with the best of the best, because they want people to associate their streaming platform with being able to see, you know, top tier movies. So you've got someone like a Martin Scorsese who comes knocking and has the Irishman.
There's a bidding war.
Exactly.
Yeah. Every streamer wants him. And the way that you get him is to say you can make whatever movie you want as long as you want to make it, right?
Exactly. There's no scheduling issues with a movie theater. There's no box office ticket sales to worry about. It's just you're a creative with a vision. Come make your movie. So Scorsese did that. He did that for Netflix with The Irishman.
Frank, I want you to meet my cousin, Russell Bufalino.
Better watch. There's a lot of tough guys around here. Did he tell you?
He's doing it again with Apple, with Killers of the Flower Moon, both very long movies. And I think, you know, you're starting to see that across the board. So I feel like we're in this moment where filmmakers have a lot of leverage. They have a lot of power to say, this is my vision. And if you don't want to make it, I can take it somewhere else. Someone else will make it.
Yeah. Well, and you allude to a very interesting kind of subpoint of that in your piece. You talk about how the role of the super producer has diminished, which also makes these movies longer. I want to cite a specific graph in your piece that made me say, like, huh, yeah, makes sense. You wrote, quote, as the sun set on super producers like Harvey Weinstein, nicknamed Harvey Scissorhands because he cut the movies he produced with relish, no one rose to take their place. The ability to work hand in glove with a world-class director to shape a movie, very few producers possess that skill or willingness today. And you cite an agent who's unnamed who says that. How big of a deal is that? I hadn't thought of that before I read it, but it makes perfect sense. Producers have less power today than they did like in the 90s.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. You definitely are starting to see producers who, you know, have a lot of different things that they're trying to think about, whether it's the demands of the studio, the partnership with the creative, and it's a lot harder to say no to a powerful filmmaker today.
Yeah. So here's my thing. We're seeing these movies increase in length, but there are still blockbusters that are super long. Just look at Marvel. I just don't understand how these studios don't test screen these movies and realize people aren't wanting them to be this long. Or are they testing these movies and people don't actually care?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you bring this up, because one of the reasons I wanted to look into this was because when I talk to the business people, the suits at the Hollywood studios, they all say that they don't like long movies.
Yet, they don't?
They don't.
Wow.
So what I wanted to know was if everyone agrees that long movies are not as good for business, why are we making so many long movies? And, you know, they absolutely are test screening. I heard many stories of movies that were test screened. I think the challenge is that when you've got a visionary filmmaker, it can be hard to cajole them into making cuts on their movie. A lot of times these director contracts will actually stipulate the kind of length of the film. And some of this has to do with, you know, how long the script is when the director gets attached. But usually there's some flexibility in those contracts. And a lot of directors now, you know, ask for director's cut, which is basically that they have the final say for the final version of the movie that ends up in theaters. And it's always a conversation, you know. There's always still going to be studios with notes and, you know, producers with notes who get involved in those decisions. But if you're a director with director's cut, your final say does go.
Yeah. And can I point out here, most of the directors and the director's cuts that we're talking about are male directors.
Yes.
Male directors are the worst offenders with the long movie trend. I want to point out here, the most successful movie of the year and one of the most successful of this decade, Barbie, directed by a woman. It's an hour and 54 minutes long.
Yep.
She did it in less than 2 hours, kids. Just saying. Just saying.
Exactly. You know, and I remember last year during the Oscar conversation, Sarah Polley talking about keeping her movie, Women Talking, a lot shorter than a lot of
really?
Her male colleagues.
Why does love, the absence of love, the end of love, the need for love, result in so much violence?
Huh. She won the adapted screenplay Oscar.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that a shorter script can still be a really impactful script.
There you go. All right, one more break. When we come back, a 4-hour director's cut of Ridley Scott's Napoleon. Yeah, you heard that right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Back to those test screenings. Are moviegoers in these test screenings saying it's too long, it's too long? What are the stories you're hearing, you know, from those?
In some cases, yes, absolutely. And in some cases, you know, directors are making changes to the cut of their film. One example is Bardo, which was directed by Alejandro Iñárritu, which came out last year and was, you know, kind of part of the early awards conversation.
This is my home.
No, this is not your home, sir. You cannot call this place your home.
And he screened that film at a festival and then actually did go back and cut some length off of the film based on the early reviews and early audience response to the movie. So some directors are willing to do that and to make those adjustments.
I want to say, if I read correctly, he cut like 22 minutes.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was quite a bit of the film. You know,
I love it.
Now,
I love it.
The reverse side of that, which I love, is the story I was just reading about with Ridley Scott, who's got Napoleon coming out on Apple soon.
What is your name?
Napoleon.
Has the course of my life just changed? Napoleon.
And I think the length of the movie that will be in theaters is a pretty normal, you know, it's 2.5 hours plus. But, you know, for a movie about Napoleon, that length makes sense. But he recently said that he's working on a director's cut that will be available on streaming that's 4 hours plus.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And of all people, Napoleon. Because no one knows anything about Napoleon.
Exactly.
Yowzers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yowzers. Is there a poster child for the long movie? A director who, like, set this current trend that we see ourselves in? I don't want to whisper in your ear James Cameron, but I just did.
Well, you're totally right. And that was a name that came up when I was doing this reporting. You know, he really did set the standard that you could make a long movie and that it could be popular.
I'll never let go. I promise.
And that people would go pay money to see it, not once, but
twice.
How
long was Titanic? How long was Titanic?
Oh, my gosh. Titanic.
I remember it was 2 VHS tapes, but I remember that.
I was going to say, I have those 2 VHS tapes somewhere in my parents' home. 3 hours and 14 minutes.
And it's one of the highest grossing films of all time.
Yeah.
So he really did prove you can get butts in seats, a lot of butts in seats for a long movie.
And he did it again with Avatar and with Avatar The Way of Water. And, you know, he'll do it again with the next Avatars whenever they come out. He has shown that, you know, for the right movie, people will come. And, you know, that's something funny. When I was reporting the story, I happened to visit my parents and I was talking to my dad about this. And I was like, do you think movies are too long? And he was like, if it's a good movie, it's not too long. And I thought that that was so spot on that at the end of the day, if you're enjoying the movie, you won't care and you won't
there you
feel
go.
The length.
Well, that's the thing. And that leads me to my next question. You know, I complain about movies being too long. Other folks complain about movies being too long. You're concerned about it because you wrote a piece about it. When we complain about a film being too long, are we complaining about length? Are we complaining about pacing? Are we complaining about boredom or the quality of theater seats? Like, what do we really mean? What are we really mad about?
As consumers?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as consumers, I think it's absolutely the pacing, it's boredom. You're complaining about it when it's a movie that you're not that into. I already have my ticket to see Killers of the Flower Moon opening weekend. I know it's going to be a long movie.
That's one of us.
You know, I know it's going to be a long movie, but I'm prepared for it. And if it's great, I won't complain about it after I leave the theater. I will also say it is a big time commitment for people if you are going out on a weekend to see a movie, mm-hmm. especially parents. You know, I talked to one studio executive when I was reporting this who said that it is a barrier for people to want to buy the ticket. And to actually,
you can't
get
have
out
your
there.
Kids sit in the movie for 3 hours long, and you and like it affects the hours you're paying your babysitter.
Exactly.
If you have kids
exactly.
going by yourself.
Yeah. So I think that's really what it's about. It's almost you have to mentally get over that hurdle as a viewer, and then if you're engaged and you're along for the ride, then the time won't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. How does all of this affect Hollywood's bottom line? We know that a longer film costs more to make than a shorter film. And we also know when a film is longer, you can show it fewer times in a day. How do those factors affect whether or not a studio or a director wants to make their movie 3 hours long? There's a good chance that doing that means they get less money overall on the film, and yet they keep doing it.
It's a risk, ultimately. It comes down to your appetite for risk, because a shorter movie is less risky. And it really depends on whether the studio wants to take a risk on that filmmaker, and also whether that filmmaker has a sense for the business or is really all about just being an artist. And some filmmakers are more willing to kind of understand the needs of the business than others. The thing is that, again, you've got all these examples of long movies being successful at the box office. And that's the thing. Every filmmaker I've heard, that's what they'll argue when they're told, oh, you need to shave 5-10 minutes. They'll say, well, Avatar didn't have to shave 5 or 10 minutes. You know, these other movies were successful without having to do that. Mm-hmm. So why do I have to do that?
I say to that, not everybody can be James Cameron.
Exactly.
And thank God for that fact.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a big part of it. I am really looking closely at this kind of moment that Hollywood is in right now with, you know, everyone across the board is going to be spending less money to make new shows and movies. And I do wonder if we start to see the pendulum swing back towards slightly shorter movies because there's less risk-taking happening in general in Hollywood right now.
Yeah. Do you think the act of movie watching should change to accommodate these longer films? And what I mean to actually ask is, should we just bring back intermissions?
I would love that. You know, if we're talking about the eventization of this kind of experience, you know, going to see Barbie and then Oppenheimer and, you know, making a whole day out of it, why not bring back the intermission and, you know, give people an opportunity to, you know, go spend more money at the concession stands and take a moment to check their phones and whatever else they might need to do. It certainly would make the movie going experience feel a lot more like going to a different kind of, live event. You know, also, I do kind of feel like we're like exiting the superhero phase of movie making, you know.
Hooray.
Gosh,
hooray.
I hope so, right?
Hooray.
it'll take time for those changes to be felt because movies are made on such a long timeline. Mm-hmm. But as Hollywood maybe prioritizes a different kind of movie, I mean, I hate to predict that we're leaving like the IP stuff behind because God knows Hollywood loves to retell a story, but I wouldn't be surprised if we also start to see shorter movies just because you don't have the big overstuffed action-packed superhero movies as often as maybe we did in the last decade.
Thanks again to Natalie Jarvie, Hollywood correspondent at Vanity Fair. All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. This show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabi Grossman, Jelani Carter, and Taka Zen. Our fearless editor, who makes sure this show is never too long, is Jordana Hochman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. And the executive producer of audio at Vox Media is Nishat Kurwa. All right, listeners, we are back Friday with a brand new episode. Until then, feel no pressure to watch a 3-hour movie unless you really, really want to. I give you permission. All right, bye.
Why do you run?
Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.